You hunt it, I'll gather it, said Hodges. And then he climbed onto the best armchair and went to sleep.
Bernard Cribbins was reading A Walk in the Park with Hodges by Alan Plater. It was a peer production for the BBC, and Bernard will be back in half an hour when a lovesick swallow and a once golden statue form a heartbreaking emotional bond in Oscar Wilde's story of the Happy Prince. That's in 30 minutes.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now it's time to catch up with the goings-on in Borsetshire's most famous village. And Daniel is wondering if he'll need that DJ after all. It's the omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra.
I thought you might be here, Erin.
Hardly surprising, is it? Final rehearsal.
Yeah, I didn't mean... I know you've been busy with end-of-term things. We all are.
Yeah, well, I better get in.
But once the holidays have started, we'll have plenty of time, won't we? At the weekend, maybe?
Undercroft hates anyone being late, so...
Okay. Catch you later, yeah?
Hello?
Mabel, it's Alan.
Oh, hello, Alan. Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. I was just ringing to see how you were.
To be honest, I haven't been feeling too good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you mean physically, or...?
Since you told me what you learnt about Catherine, I've been feeling very low.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Mabel. I'd hoped it would help you come to terms with it. You know, finding out what motivated her.
But why could Catherine never tell me about it?
Well...
Such an ogre?
Oh, I'm sure she didn't see you like that.
She couldn't tell her own mother, but she could tell a stranger.
Well, I wouldn't call Janice a stranger. I think she got to know Catherine very well when she was in that home. And from what I saw of her, she's a very sympathetic woman.
And I wasn't.
No. Oh, no, Mabel, you really, really mustn't think like that. If I'd known you were going to feel like this, I'd have rung at a different time. So I'm afraid I can't talk for long now.
I know, you're a busy man.
Yeah, I've got to go to Felpersham for a meeting about the homeless shelter. Look, the last thing I want is for you to feel bad about this.
Oh, you mustn't worry about me.
Oh, I do. It's only because I needed to see this thing through to the bitter end that you got to face all this new information.
It's been hard.
Are you in this evening?
Yes.
Right. After my meeting, I'm going to drive up and we can talk through it properly.
No.
I should have done that in the first place.
Surely this could wait until I come down.
Mabel, please. I want to do this.
Erin! Hang on, Erin!
Oh, God.
How did the rehearsal go?
Okay.
Great. My run-through is fine. Of my reading?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
There's something I wanted to show you.
Look, Dan, I need to get off.
It won't take long. I've been meaning to show you since the weekend. I got Dad to take it. There, look. It's my new DJ. You know, I went shopping with Dad for it last week.
I can see.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's, you look nice.
Okay, to wear to the ball, then.
Fine.
Have you decided what you're going to wear? Or are you going to look for something in the sales?
Actually, I don't think I'll be going.
To the sales?
To the ball.
But you've got your ticket. And we're meant to be going together. You and me.
Look, Dan, I think we better forget it. I'm sorry. I've got to go.
Forget it? She just means the ball, doesn't she? Doesn't she?
It's just spaghetti bolognese for supper.
Fine by me.
I want to get ahead with the Christmas cooking. Put some things in the freezer.
Good idea. Hi.
Hello, Daniel.
He doesn't look very happy.
School all right?
Yeah, fine.
How did the rehearsal go?
Oh, you know, no problem.
Oh, that's not enough spaghetti for three of us. It'll have to be penne.
Fine. Pasta bolognese.
What?
For supper, pasta bolognese.
Is it Erin, I wonder?
Oh, yeah, great.
Has she said something?
I know I was a stern mother, but I felt I had no choice.
We all have to find the best way of bringing up our children, Mabel.
With no man in the house? I had to be father and mother to her. Not that her father was much use even before he upped sticks.
You had a tough job to do.
I looked around. I saw lax parenting, children going off the rails. It starts with answering back, then staying out late, and I didn't want my Catherine going that way.
No.
And then she did something worse. Much worse than those other youngsters. To take a knife and hurt that girl so badly.
But we know why now.
The shame. It was almost more than I could bear. And Catherine knew it. She could see the shame in me. No wonder she couldn't bring herself to confide in me.
Oh, you really mustn't blame yourself, Mabel. This was an extraordinary event, and Catherine dealt with it in a very specific way. You know, I think it's quite possible that Janice was the only person in the world that she told.
But why not me? If she'd been through all that abuse, did she think I wouldn't understand?
Perhaps she just needed to say it once. There's one thing I can be certain of, though. Whatever she did, it wasn't because she didn't love you. It's quite the opposite. She went to extremes to protect you. Remember that girl was threatening you too, remember?
Yes, I know that now.
And I think in some way she was still trying to protect you, even after she was released.
Maybe.
I'm sure Catherine talked to God about it as well, of course. Her faith was so strong.
It was.
And at least you both had that. And the security of the church to support you. Mabel?
I'm sorry to say this, but at the time the church wasn't much help at all.
I know I can't take one more step towards you, 'cause all that's waiting is regret.
Don't you know? You okay, Daniel?
Fine.
You were very quiet at supper. Is something up?
No. Well, I don't really know.
What is it? Can we turn this down a bit?
Yeah, okay.
Did something happen at school?
Sort of. I think it might be over between me and Erin.
Oh, Lord. What makes you think that?
Well, she's been a bit funny for a few days. That's when I've seen her at all. I caught up with her today and we were talking about the New Year's Eve ball and she said we should forget it.
Forget it?
At first I thought she meant the ball, but the more I thought about it, the more it seemed she was dumping me.
Did she say anything else? Any reason why?
No.
Thank goodness.
I've texted her twice, but she hasn't answered.
He's so cut up about it.
What do you think, Dad?
Well, I know it's upsetting, but yeah, it sounds to me like it's her way of saying it's over.
I knew this was going to happen. There are heaps of boys better looking than me. And cooler.
You're a great kid. You've got a lot to offer.
And I was never quite sure if I was doing it right. I don't mean, you know.
No.
I mean, being a boyfriend.
Yeah, sure.
I keep thinking, is it something I've done? Or not done? Or done too much? Or not enough?
Daniel, I'm sure it's not you. Relationships can be a minefield. Sometimes, even if there's an attraction, You just have to accept that you're not the right people for each other.
I really liked her.
Yeah, I know. I know it hurts right now, but it won't help to torture yourself. Best thing is just to accept it's over, think fondly of the good times and move on.
You really think it's over?
Go on, stick the knife in. It does sound like that to me.
Right. I'm glad I told you.
Well, we've all been there. Causing him this pain. So unnecessary.
But, Mum...
What about her?
She was so pleased when I started going out with Erin. I don't want her fussing all over me.
Oh, she'll have to know.
Yeah, but... Could I get used to the idea first?
Yeah, of course. You tell her in your own time.
Thanks, Dad.
No problem. Well, I'll leave you to it.
Okay.
And don't worry. You will find someone more right for you.
Yeah. Maybe.
You'd have thought that was the time, wouldn't you? My time of need, when people would rally round.
And didn't they?
A few did, but folk I thought were my friends, who I'd stood with and sung with and worshipped with, they didn't want to know me no more.
Oh, that's awful.
There was talk of the demons that had got into Catherine, how the devil had her doing his work. And all the time the finger pointing at me.
You deserved better than that. You both did.
It wasn't just the church. I'd see people talking about me when I went to the shop. Or to work. I couldn't stay there.
Is that why you moved from London?
When Catherine was let out, we came up here. Stayed with Annie for a time until we got our own place. Tried to make a fresh start.
Well, and that's exactly what you did do. You made a fresh start. You rebuilt a loving relationship with her. Didn't you?
I suppose so.
Oh, Mabel. Society in those days, it was very rigid, more judgmental. And those people should have shown you more understanding, more charity. But through it all, God knew the truth. He knew how complex the picture was. He loved you both, and he still does.
I know. I'm grateful for that, at least.
Would you like to pray with me?
I would. I'd like that very much.
You're not still cooking?
Just about finished. But with luck, I won't have to cook any desserts between now and New Year.
The freezer must be crammed to bursting.
Just about.
Is it all right if I have a cider?
Oh, yes, okay.
Thanks.
So, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
The concert, doing your reading.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fine.
You're very confident.
It's no biggie, Mum. It's just reading something out.
Yeah, but with a big audience. And Erin?
What about her?
She's in the orchestra, isn't she?
Yeah, but I don't have anything to do with that.
No, I know, but it'll be lovely to hear her play at last.
I don't think she's got a solo or anything.
I expect her parents will be there, won't they? I hope we can meet them. That'd be lovely.
Now, what sort of time will you be up in the morning?
I need to be away by 6:30, so up at 6, quick shower and off.
No breakfast?
I'll probably just grab a sandwich on the motorway.
Oh, no, Alan, you can't drive all that way on an empty stomach. Look, I've got no bacon in, but let me cook you some eggs at least.
Oh, you don't have to get up, Mabel.
Breakfast at 6:15, or I'll lock the door and hide the key.
I can see I'm not going to win this one.
You're not.
Well, you do seem a lot happier, I must say.
Well, I am. I feel so much better now that this dreadful business has finally been put to bed.
Yes, not quite.
What do you mean?
Amy. She still knows nothing about it.
No? And that's a blessing, isn't it?
Well,
if the ear don't hear, the heart don't grieve.
So can you sit with us, Daniel?
For the first half. My reading's after the interval.
I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
You hear it every Christmas time.
Yeah, but not with you reading it. Can I have a look at the programme, Alistair?
Oh, yeah, here you are.
Beethoven's first Christmas poetry. Oh, the Coventry Carol, lovely. With harp accompaniment, that's unusual.
Yeah.
And there you are. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, read by Daniel Hebden Lloyd, year 12. Oh, fame at last.
Yeah, you better keep hold of that. It might be worth something someday.
Well, we will keep it. It'll be a nice thing to put in your box of mementos.
You've not still got that?
Of course. Do you want it back, Alistair?
No, you keep it.
Okay. Oh, there's Erin.
Where?
Talking to that blonde woman. Is that her mother?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go and say hello, shall we?
Actually,
No, better not.
Oh, why?
Erin gets quite nervous before a performance.
Really? She always strikes me as a very confident girl.
Not with her music. I wouldn't want to put her off.
Oh. Oh, well, if you're sure.
She's going now, anyway.
Yeah, probably off to tune up, I suppose.
Yes.
Maybe we'll see her afterwards.
Why does she have to be playing tonight? Isn't it complicated enough with Daniel? Oh, did she see me looking? Well, what if she did? Everyone else is watching the orchestra too. Good that Daniel doesn't want us to bump into her either. If we can just get through the evening without any awkwardness. Terms ending. Let it all die down. Let her just disappear out of our lives.
Well, that went well.
The elders like the carols.
Yeah, always goes down well at the Laurels.
Oh, Alan, you haven't stopped, have you? It's busy enough at this time of year without fitting in a last-minute trip to Bradford.
I am feeling that early start a bit, I must say.
Well, I'm sure you could have pulled out of the carol singing. They'd have managed without you.
Oh, no. I felt bad. As long as I have a reasonably early night tonight, I'll be fine.
Are you hungry, or have they stuffed you full of mince pies at the Laurels?
I just had the one. Didn't want to spoil my supper. Ooh, it smells wonderful.
Veggie lasagna.
Oh, lovely. You know, I know it was a lot to fit in, but I don't regret going to see Mabel.
It was helpful, was it?
That's what I should have done in the first place, really. Much better to talk that sort of thing through face to face.
Yeah.
I learnt a lot about what it was like at the time for her.
Did you?
It's quite shocking, some of it. But the main objective was to put her mind at rest about why Catherine kept it to herself.
And have you?
Yeah, she's in a much happier state now.
Well, that was very good, wasn't it, Alistair?
Yeah, it was.
The girl who sang the solo.
Esme.
What a beautiful voice.
Mm.
Did you see that little boy playing the cello?
No, sorry.
Oh, you must have. Bright red hair. Such concentration. And he can't be more than 12 or 13.
Yeah, I think he's in year 8.
Must be something of a prodigy.
Yeah, perhaps.
So, not long now, Daniel. You still feeling okay about your reading?
Well, actually, I'm getting a bit nervous.
I thought it would happen eventually, but it's nothing to worry about. They say a few nerves are good for the performance.
If you say so.
You'll be fine. You're well rehearsed, aren't you?
I think so.
And you've got the text in front of you, so you don't have to worry about forgetting it.
I'd prefer it if it was in modern English.
Oh, it's lovely to hear the King James version occasionally.
I think I'd better go to the loo before the second half. Could you take this, Daniel?
Sure.
Thanks. Be back soon.
You know where it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Through the double doors and turn right.
Oh, my.
Can't keep your eyes off me, can you?
Erin, what are you... I've got to...
I saw you, all the way through the Beethoven, leching at me.
I wasn't.
How can you say you don't want me? Perving away with your wife sitting next to you.
For God's sake, keep your voice down.
It's pathetic.
Not in the corridor.
Let go of me.
Come on, in here.
Well, don't want to be seen with me now, then.
Not if you're going to talk like that. Erin, I told you last week, all this is in your head.
I was only helping you out because you want to be a vet.
Oh, yeah, right. I know the difference between a bit of work experience and what you were doing.
I wasn't doing anything.
Finding excuses to be with me.
Oh, that was you.
All those personal conversations, affectionate texts.
It was nothing like that.
There's a name for that, you know. Grooming.
That's absurd. You were the one sending affectionate texts. You instigated most of the trips. I mean, look how you went on at me to come to clinical club.
Only after you dangled the carrot. You knew just what you were doing. Except when it worked and I fell for it. You chickened out then, didn't you?
No.
Enjoyed a bit of an ego massage. Then you got cold feet.
It was nothing like that.
If people knew how you treated me...
Oh, that's the second half. I've got to get back to Shula.
That's right. Run back to wifey.
Erin, I know you're upset, but... Everything was okay before you got this idea in your head.
Before you put it in my head?
Do you have any idea of the damage you could cause if you go around saying things like this? They're just not true.
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph,
I've always loved these
thou
verses.
Son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy
it's
wife.
It's not going
to
go away, is it?
For that which is conceived in
her I don't know what
is
to do.
The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
He doesn't look at all nervous, bless
him. All this was
him.
Done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet.
She really thinks that I've led her
behold,
on.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son.
This is beginning to feel out of control.
Call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
We won't be seeing the new year in with Amy this year.
No? She's working, is she?
No. Some of her colleagues have persuaded her to go to the Felpisham New Year's Eve ball. They're getting a bit of a gang together.
Yeah, she'll enjoy that.
I think so.
You know, Mabel feels very strongly that we shouldn't tell Amy what we've discovered about Catherine.
How do you feel about that?
I'm still quite torn.
If you want my opinion...
I do.
I think to not tell her would be taking a big risk.
Well, isn't there a risk in telling her?
Yeah, she might be upset. And she might take a bit of time to adjust.
I certainly did.
But you did adjust. You've seen how the past can rear up out of nowhere. And with modern technology, even more so.
Yeah.
How would she feel if she discovered you'd known about this all along? Knowing what Catherine did might affect Amy's relationship with her memory, but I'm much more concerned about damaging her relationship with you.
Yeah. And if she stumbled on the facts later...
Think how hurt you were about not being told. You felt you had the right to know. I'm sure she'd feel the same.
And if I hadn't told her...
Exactly. Please, let's get it all out in the open. Then maybe we can put Catherine to rest once and for all.
Well, I feel very Christmassy now, don't you?
What? Oh, yeah.
Especially after that encore when they all came back wearing Santa hats. Oh, there, look.
What?
There he is. Daniel, over here.
Hiya.
Oh, well done, darling. Can I give you a hug?
If you like.
Oh, you were wonderful. You really made the words come alive.
Yeah, well done.
And the music's lovely. We must find Erin and tell her.
Actually, I think we need to get away.
Oh, but...
It's finished later than I thought and I've got a lot on tomorrow.
Oh, it's not that late.
Yeah, but by the time we get home...
Actually, I am a bit tired.
Oh, all right then.
Excuse me.
Oh, thank you. Isn't it this way?
I think it's quicker to the car park if we go out here. Please, let's not bump into her.
Well, you must tell Erin how much we enjoyed it.
Yeah, I will.
What a mess. How did I ever get into this?
That shirt isn't going to survive many more washes.
What do you mean? It's got years of wearing it, yeah?
For gardening, maybe. I really don't think you should wear it to go out anymore.
Oh, that's my favourite, though.
Really, Alan, it makes you look scruffy.
What, do you think so?
Honestly.
Well, you say so.
I'm going to take your advice about Amy, too.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to tell her.
I'm sure that's the right decision.
Just need to find the right time and place.
I think I'll go straight up.
Okay.
Oh, don't you want a drink or anything, Daniel?
No, I'm good. See you in the morning.
All right, darling. Sleep well.
And you?
And well done again.
Thanks.
Do you think he's all right?
Yeah.
Looks very tired. Oh, I suppose it's been a busy term.
Shula, could you sit down, please?
What?
There's something I need to tell you.
What is it?
Please.
Alistair, what's wrong?
There's been a bit of trouble.
With Daniel?
Only indirectly. It's actually with Erin.
With Erin?
The fact is, she's developed a bit of a crush on me. And it came right out of the blue when... Well, she tried to kiss me.
She what?
She kissed me.
When? Tonight?
No, after clinical club.
After... Well, that was last week.
I know.
And you're just telling me now?
I thought I'd dealt with it, but then she turned up at Arnold Hamilton's and... I was just packing up after the TB test and she practically threw herself at me.
She threw herself at you?
Honestly, I didn't want it. I made it clear to her that I wasn't interested.
But wait, you were at Arnold's on...
Friday, and I know I should have told you.
Oh, damn right you should have told me.
I didn't want there to be any embarrassment.
For you mean?
No, for anybody. You, Daniel. I thought when I told her she'd got it all wrong, she'd just go away and forget about it.
Which would have been very convenient for you.
But this evening, I bumped into her in the interval.
Really? Just by chance?
Yes. Well, I don't know. She might have been waiting for me.
Oh, but... because you'd made an arrangement?
No, I was desperate not to see her.
Oh, so that's why you rushed us home.
Because now she's coming out with all these wild allegations. I needed to explain to you before... Well, the state she's in, I don't know what she's going to do.
What exactly is she saying?
Well, that I led her on. Spent more time with her than was necessary.
You have seen her a lot.
Because she was so keen. She seemed so interested in the work and... Well, as I said last week, I thought it was just a schoolgirl crush, like, you know, on a teacher. But tonight, it looks like... She's developed an obsession.
With you?
Well, I'm not that repulsive, am I?
Oh, you're old enough to be her father.
I told her that. I said that I loved you and it was unfair on Daniel.
And has anything happened between you?
No, just... She kissed me.
She actually kissed you?
Tried to. I mean, she caught me by surprise and...
Alistair, you're saying you've done nothing you're ashamed of?
Nothing. Almost nothing.
So, if you're completely innocent...
I am.
Why did you keep it a secret?
Well, the atmosphere of the stables is tense at the same time next week. And remember, you can catch up with the Archers every Sunday to Friday evening at 7 o'clock over on BBC Radio 4. Ambridge Extra was written by Kerry Davies. It was directed in our Birmingham studios by Jenny Stevens and Rosie Bolton. And the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.
What's so funny with Ed Byrne?
Let's turn to a little light reading next. We've neglected Rob Brydon's new book, which is remiss of us, so this week we thought we might put that right. It's called Small Man in a Book, presumably because he's small and it's a book. Actually, that's not right, is it? It's because of his Small Man in a Box voice, which is an interesting thing to name the book after, because it was something that just sort of came up as a party piece on QI, pretty much. Yeah. The thing I learned from this that I thought was most surprised, but I was aware that he was around for a bit before he broke into the comedy scene, but I wasn't aware of the extent to it. I mean, you could fill a whole series of Before They Were Famous with stuff that Rob Brydon has done
before he was properly famous.
It's quite a good one for showing people how it's not overnight success,
yeah,
to know that comedy is a hard slog. There's a lot of hanging around Soho doing voiceovers.
Mm. And a lot of stuff that's not comedy that he was doing early on. I mean, just roving reporting and stuff like that. And I started to look at our roving reporter, Lucy Porter, and I go, see, enough roving reporting, and eventually...
I know, I'm hoping that one
day... BAFTAs and comedy awards all the way.
One day I get to write Simply the Best.
It's very, I mean, as you go through the book, you realise that, you know, you're two-thirds through and he's still not famous. I don't know whether they were thinking, well, we might get a second book out of, the famous years. But I
think also comics just find it very difficult to talk about success. You know, I mean, I think it's a...
But that's often where it gets boring. That's the trouble, because success is all the same.
I don't know.
It's the path there that's more interesting.
I think people generally are far more interested than we give credit for what goes on behind the scenes of the actual successful TV show.
I certainly got the impression that his publishers thought that, because there's a very odd moment where he's describing very nicely his school days and, you know, all the sort of reminiscent stuff of 70s childhood and his interest in music. And that he's talking about how much he likes David Bowie in the early 80s. And then he suddenly says... Oh, and years later, I heard David Bowie being interviewed and he said how much he liked Cruise of the Gods. And suddenly there's 10 pages about Cruise of the Gods out of absolutely nowhere.
And you felt that was tacked in?
It almost felt like they'd said, Rob, we've got to get some more celebrities in a bit earlier.
We will shake our fist at the publishers for meddling.
You should have trusted him more, Mr. Publisher.
Because it is also very beautifully written, it has to be said.
What's So Funny with Ed Byrne on BBC Radio 4 Extra. Friday mornings at 7:30 and again in the evening at 10.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, a lovesick swallow and a once golden statue form a very special bond as Bernard Cribbins reads Oscar Wilde's story, The Happy Prince.
High above the city, on a tall column, stood the statue of the Happy Prince. He was gilded all over with thin leaves of fine gold. For eyes he had two bright sapphires, and a large red ruby glowed on his sword hilt. One night there flew over the city a little swallow. His friends had gone away to Egypt 6 weeks before, but he had stayed behind, for he was in love with the most beautiful reed. He had met her early in the spring as he was flying down the river after a big yellow moth, and had been so attracted by her slender waist that he had stopped to talk to her. "Shall I love you?" said the swallow, who liked to come to the point at once, and the reed made him a low bow. So he flew round and round her, touching the water with his wings and making silver ripples. This was his courtship, and it lasted all through the summer. "It is a ridiculous attachment," twittered the other swallows. "She has no money and far too many relations." And indeed the river was quite full of reeds. Then, when the autumn came, they all flew away. After they had gone, he felt lonely and began to tire of his lady love. "Will you come away with me?" he said finally to her. But the reed shook her head. She was so attached to her home. "You have been trifling with me," he cried. "I am off to the pyramids. Goodbye." And he flew away. All day long he flew, and at night time he arrived at the city. "Where shall I put up?" he said. "I hope the town has made preparations." Then he saw the statue on the tall column. "I will put up there," he cried. "It is a fine position with plenty of fresh air." So he alighted just between the feet of the Happy Prince. But just as he was putting his head under his wing, a large drop of water fell on him. "What a curious thing," he cried. "There is not a single cloud in the sky. The stars are quite clear and bright, and yet it is raining." Then another drop fell. "What is the use of a statue if it cannot keep the rain off?" he said. "I must look for a good chimney pot." And he determined to fly away. But before he had opened his wings, a third drop fell. And he looked up and saw... Ah, what did he see? The eyes of the Happy Prince were filled with tears, and tears were running down his golden cheeks. His face was so beautiful in the moonlight that the little swallow was filled with pity. Who are you? He said. I am the Happy Prince. Why are you weeping then? Asked the swallow. You have quite drenched me. When I was alive and had a human heart, answered the statue, I did not know what tears were, for I lived in the palace of Sanssouci, where sorrow is not allowed to enter. My courtiers called me the Happy Prince, and happy indeed I was, if pleasure be happiness. So I lived, and so I died. And now that I am dead, they have set me up here so high that I can see all the ugliness and all the misery of my city. And though my heart is made of lead, yet I cannot choose but weep. Far away, continued the statue, there is a poor house. One of the windows is open, and through it I can see a woman seated at a table. Her face is thin and worn, and she has coarse red hands all pricked by the needle, for she is a seamstress. In a bed in the corner of the room, her little boy is lying ill. His mother has nothing to give him but river water, so he is crying.